Chapter 3. Emma. Perhaps my family is right to worry about my dating life. After all, I did just tell an attractive man who was gracious and observant enough to save me from a very awkward social encounter that I hate the very thing he has chosen to surround himself with. I mean, no one would apply for a job in a gallery unless they liked paintings and sculptures and whatever else gets displayed. A surge of lightheadedness makes the room spin around me. But thankfully, the plastic chair keeps holding me up. What if he was the one to approve Richie's work? Despite the embarrassment flooding my body and possibly my cheeks, I can't pull my gaze away from his. No matter how hard I search, the handsome face looking back at me doesn't reveal a single clue as to his reaction. Handsome is such a pretentious feeling word to use, but there are too many waves of sophistication rolling off this man to call him anything else. Words such as cute, hot, good-looking, a straight 10, or any other description I've seen or heard my friends use absolutely give off the wrong impression. Is it possible I'm a biased observer right now? Could the bizarreness I spent the past half hour perusing have altered my perception? Maybe. But I can easily picture him lounging against the counter in my favorite coffee shop, and that mental image does not spark a different reaction. This man appears as comfortable in a jacket and slacks as other men are in sweats and t-shirts. Even the brown hair that is long enough to brush the open collar of his dress shirt is lined like it was edited for a magazine cover. And I just told this 6-foot-something man of casual, elegant perfection that I hate the core of what he does for a living. Good job, Emma. How long has he just been staring at me? Can I backpedal? Pretend I misspoke? It feels like I've been drowning in his direct hazel gaze for several minutes, but it's probably only been a second or two. I'm not that great at maintaining eye contact. Time to take a stab at salvaging the situation. I mean, this art, or rather... His impassive expression breaks as a low chuckle fills the room.
You don't have to apologize.
He shakes his head, somehow still holding my gaze.
Art is subjective. I would say, though, that if you don't like any of it, chances are you've never been introduced to it properly.
I'm sure you're right. Actually, I'm sure he isn't. Art's been thrown at me in every way imaginable. Agreement is an easy path out of this discomfort, though. I take a drink from my water bottle and glance in the direction of the gallery. Do you like it? Do you like it? That's my brilliant transition out of an awkward discussion. This is why I created a script for conversing with strangers. Without it, I inevitably stick my foot in my mouth far enough to gnaw on my knee. Should I laugh it off? No. My best friend, Jason, says my fake laugh sounds like a deranged parrot. More backpedaling it is, then. What I meant was, how close can I get to my normal question one? Do you like your job? He considers me through narrowed eyes as he, too, buys time by taking a drink of water. After he sets the bottle down, his skepticism seems to clear as he gives a slight bob of his head.
Most of the time, yes.
I shift my weight in my chair, careful not to lean forward in anticipation. Anyone who takes the time to truly think before answering a question is more interesting than someone who gives a pat, practiced, socially expected response.
I don't suppose any job is good all the time. Even one you love has mundane parts.
I dreamed about having a job like my current one while I was sitting in college classes. But there are still days I want to chuck it all and try my hand at making it as a video game streamer. If nothing else, there's filling out tax forms. He laughs, face splitting into a wide smile and revealing straight white teeth and dimples. I wrap the fingers of my left hand around the edge of the seat beneath me to make sure I stay where I am. Handsome has left the building. Gorgeous has taken up residence. They should clear out all the paintings from the other rooms so people can simply stand around and gawk at this man laughing. Of course, then he probably wouldn't be laughing. The last thing I need is for my brain to travel any farther down that particular road, so I search for something else to talk about, or even think about. All I can imagine eclipsing that captivating smile is the bizarreness in the other room. I wave a hand toward the door. So you understand all that?
Are you referring to the patrons, the gallery, or tonight's displayed works?
I blink as the confusing environment I'd recently escaped slides into different mental groupings, like objects in a piece of code. The context is more comfortable, but doesn't bring sense to the idea. Any of it, I suppose. He picks up his water and takes a drink, once more seeming to give real consideration to my question before answering it.
A gallery is a business.
One finger starts tracing through the condensation on the bottle.
You acquire a product with a potential audience. If it sells, you make money. I've been around places like this for 15 years, and I can tell you there's nothing more noble to it.
15 years? Either he really appreciates art, or he aged like cheddar cheese.
As for the art itself,
his gaze lifts to meet mine before shifting to the wall.
Every form of art has someone who appreciates it. Personally, I prefer the nuance and context of realism.
I can't stop the conspiratorial smirk from forming as I say, does it mean more to you when covered in abstract household appliances? He shakes his head, one side of his mouth tilting enough to bring out that dimple again.
No, but that does bring me to the patrons. Richie could make a living taking commissions and doing portraits and other true-to-life paintings. He's got the skills for it.
I suppose I can see some appeal to the old-world idea of having a portrait of the family pet or hanging your family above the fireplace. But wouldn't it be faster, easier, and cheaper to get a large print of a good photo? Probably best not to ask the art guy.
By adding something unique,
Carter continues,
Richie is limiting his audience, but he also increases his potential value. Not everyone appreciates it, but when the right person does?
He shrugs. My nose wrinkles into a frown as I try to imagine finding enjoyment in seeing those pieces every day. I don't think my failure to do so is completely the fault of my lack of creativity.
See?
Carter points his water bottle at me before taking another sip. See what?
You responded. Art is as much about evoking a response in the viewer as it is providing an outlet of expression for the creator.
Are you saying he wants me to hate his work? Carter gives another shrug.
No, but revulsion is a response. For an artist, the further someone is from stoic disinterest, the bigger the success. It doesn't matter which direction the emotion goes, although positive feelings tend to pay more.
He settles deeper into thought and crosses his legs at the ankles as he looks up at the ceiling.
I suppose that's why I like showings no matter what is on display. Patrons are their own exhibit.
What do you see?
Well,
he gives me a grin.
Sometimes I see people who need a bit of assistance.
And I am right back to the heat of awkward embarrassment.
If you prefer, we can pretend I developed a sudden craving for tiny sandwiches.
Did he come over out of pity or from a desire to meet me? Which is better? Either idea has heat building in my ears and threatening to flood my face. Thankfully, he comes to my rescue again by asking,
what is it you don't like?
That it's paint on canvas and I'm supposed to look at it and become connected to some deeper meaning in life? Not even historically inaccurate paintings of Jesus do that for me. You said you didn't like it either.
My reaction was not as, shall we say, visceral as yours. I can appreciate the skill, if not the final product.
That probably comes in handy working at a gallery. He says nothing as he watches me, waiting for an answer. Since tonight is the first time I've admitted to a living soul that I dislike all forms of art, I've never taken time to articulate what it is I don't like about it. Do I have an actual reason? Does this feeling of distaste bother me so much because it doesn't have an explainable cause? I suppose, I say, dragging out the words as I try to gather my thoughts, that I don't see the purpose.
And you like everything to be practical and efficient.
My eyebrows shoot up. That had been a firm statement, not a questioning observation. He nods toward my arm.
Your watch.
My watch? I turn my wrist and the face lights up, telling me I have 15 minutes until my promised hour's up.
No one, at least none of the ladies, wore one tonight. It is a practical accessory, but not a fashionable one.
I try to swallow the mix of flattery and discomfort. How long were you watching me? He smirks.
You weren't exactly hiding your distaste. It was instantly noticeable.
That doesn't answer my question, but as I'm not certain I want to know the truth, I don't press him. I don't believe everything has to be practical, but I do think it needs a purpose. Fun can be an impractical purpose, so can relaxation.
Beauty isn't a purpose?
That, I point toward the gallery, is not beautiful. It's weird.
To you?
I concede that some people might like that art, but if you go in there and ask them why, none of them will say, because it's pretty. They would spout some sort of nonsense about existential crisis and sociological displacement and transcendental warfare. Water splutters from his mouth as he laughs around a sip of water.
Pretension is a purpose as well.
Why, Carter, are you implying those people out there came for their own egos and not the great Ritchie Reynolds? I think my joke is funny and in line with the conversation. But his smile immediately fades, and he considers me with a hard look. Gorgeousness must make me stupid. That's the only reason I have for why I keep speaking without thinking around this man. I didn't mean... I swallow and try to dig my way out of one more verbal blunder. I have family out there. I was just thinking of them and... Wow, that doesn't sound any better.
You know who I am.
The amount of disappointment in his voice makes me want to cross the room and give him a comforting hug. Although my just shy of average-sized self would be nose to shirt button, and I don't know how comforting that would be. I grip my nearly empty water bottle tighter. Greg called you Carter, so I assumed that was your name. My nose screws up. That's probably odd, isn't it? Having me use your name because I heard it somewhere. I'm usually talking to people I had an online connection to first, and I'm just accustomed to learning a name and using it. Never before have I considered the dangers of meeting people via email signature. He considers me for a moment before the small smile returns to his face.
Do you have a business card or something I can learn your name from? I'm afraid I'm more accustomed to formal introductions.
My social skills are as vague as the car Ritchie smeared atop a running shoe. I try to smile. I'm Emma.
Nice to meet you, Emma.
He inclines his head with a smile, making his dimples crease and crinkles form beside his hazel eyes. My mind is a complete blank, even as I press my tongue to my teeth in preparation for continuing the conversation. The buzzing of my phone saves me, and I pick it up to silence the alarm I set to use as a fake emergency text. It appears I have fulfilled my time obligation and can now make my way home.
Does it count if you spent half the time in the break room?
I spent an hour at the gallery, which is all I promised to do. I shrug. Besides, I already opened the bag of bribery M&Ms my sister gave me, so she can't take them back.
You were bribed into attending with M&Ms?
Yes, peanut butter ones. Although, I must admit it was the best possible introduction one could be given to the man who is Richie Reynolds. I can't imagine trying to put context around his demeanor if I'd met him in Mother's living room. If this relationship progresses to the point that he attends our monthly dinners, will I get to hear him speak like a normal person, or will it just be more random banalities? That's a worry for another day. For now, I just need to get out of here and out of these uncomfortable clothes. I push the chair back from the table and stand. The miles of extra fabric in the loose pant leg catches on the chair and bring it skittering after me as I step away. Stupid fancy-named pants. Jeans and yoga pants do not betray a girl this way. Carter steps forward to help me extricate myself from the chair, and I give him a tight smile. I'm not clumsy.
Okay.
Really, I'm not. See? I toss the empty water bottle toward the trash can and it drops right in.
You could have recycled that.
He points to the blue bin in the other corner. Well, that's just silly. Why wouldn't you put them beside each other so that a person knows recycling is an option?
Because everyone back here is supposed to already know?
Fair. I sigh and look into the trash can. The bottle rests atop a lone, closed takeout container, so I scoop it back up and toss it toward the recycling bin. It swooshes right in, thanks to many nights spent working in a computer lab and being too lazy to cross the room. He nods in appreciation before letting his gaze sweep over my person. It isn't one of those creepy check-out-the-little-lady sort of scans. No, he appears to be looking for evidence of my real personality. I hate to tell him, but he won't find it in anything I am currently wearing. Even my underwear is the fancy kind because my normal ones looked weird under the pants. I glance down. One pant leg is still bunched up from the chair incident. The droopy yet clingy shirt is twisted, and a seam is now arching from beneath my right arm to the vicinity of my belly button. At least my shoes match each other. He may indeed think he's learning something about me right now, but it isn't a favorable impression. I sigh. The ability to wear nice clothing gracefully must be attached to the genetic quality that provides creativity and an appreciation of art. It's not from a class, because my mother made me attend those as a teenager and I still don't possess the skills. Thank you for the water and the rescue, but I hope you won't find it too offensive that I am more than ready to leave this event.
Understandable.
I return his long last look, though mine is committing him to memory. While I do not want to think about how he might remember me, I know I'll be remembering him as the good-looking guy who got to see me in my least impressive setting. If we ever meet again, I pray it will be while I'm doing something I'm competent at and wearing clothes I don't want to burn. He could watch me work and be impressed with the consistent way I name my variables, or log into Wizards World 3 and marvel at the kingdom I've built up, or see me strategize my way to a win during board game night with my friends. Most of those things happen in my apartment, though, so more likely than not, I'll never see him again.